You're listening to Minds of Forestry by Tyler Dennis.
Welcome back to another episode of Minds of Forestry. Today we did a little bit of something different. We did an interview with one of my past co-workers, as I would call her. We've done some field work together, and I just want to touch base with her. And we did a little bit of a talk, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who listens. And I want to say thank you to Lungi for doing this. I just want everyone to remember, you can reach out to me on my socials. I've got at Minds of Forestry on Twitter. And of course, I have Gmail, mindsofforestry@gmail.com, for any inquiries to come on the show and just chat. So here we go. This is my interview with Lungi Roberts. Please enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. How about perfect? Can you hear me okay?
You bet.
Awesome. Hope you're staying warm in this cold weather.
Oh yeah, one of the trucks didn't start this morning, so that was fun.
Yeah, I was concerned about my truck this morning, but it's going now, so
that's good. Just leave it running.
Exactly. Well, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess let's just kind of get into it, I guess. Hey, that's
okay. Yeah,
just introduce yourself if you want. And
okie doke. So my name is Lungi Roberts, and I'm a senior environmental technician at DWB Consulting Service, BC CECL, which is a construction erosion sediment control lead, and as well as an environmental professional in training with a water quality specialization. So it's a little bit of a mishmash.
And so that's like a kind of like a dual accreditation program, or?
Yeah.
Okay. And so kind of what backgrounds brought you into this kind of work?
So I did a little bit of invasive fish research in my years at university, and as well as population modeling and resource management, that sort of thing. And soil sciences and kind of environmental remediation, that sort of thing. So I really liked working with water, especially, and doing watershed management, just based on the watershed I grew up in. It was a really beautiful lake, and they nutrified it because there was open sewage going into the lake. So just with that kind of background, I really was passionate about just tracking water quality and trying to manage for like sort of thing. So okay. That's kind of what got me into it.
And so remind me, where is it that you're from originally?
From Guatemala. So I grew up in a small town in the Western Highlands called Panajachel.
And so is that kind of where the kind of water quality?
Yes.
Kind of. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a beautiful volcanic lake. And yeah, it's a bunch of people from, I don't know if you are familiar with the story of Lake Tahoe in California, but the same research group came and did a study at our lake because the same, they've put in some management practices now, but it's, I don't know, we'll see. It's going to be a long journey for them. So.
Yeah, I definitely think having that little bit of a background coming from that aspect from where you're from kind of helps build kind of like a passionate work experience and kind of work ethic. I think even in today's society, it just doesn't seem everyone wants to change how we do things, but no one wants to actually sit down and do it.
Yeah, no kidding.
so then, out of curiosity, like, what's your desired field scope? Like, you, I guess, because you do fisheries, mm-hmm. water quality, and like mm-hmm. in our past, we've done like soil samples.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, out of curiosity, like, what's your preferred scope?
Of all of it. Yeah, that's a hard one. I do really like certain aspects of water sampling. So not to be confused with water quality, but doing the water samples for like mines and investigation programs where you're just checking what the baseline studies are. I'm really interested in that. So we don't do too much of it, but that's always fun for me. And the contaminated sites, that's like the soil sampling we've done. That was, that's definitely up my alley. Just, I'm really interested in especially the remediation side and delineating contaminated sites, but just doing the sampling and analysis on the back end too. That's something I'm very interested in. So
perfect. Mm-hmm. And out of all of that, what would your least favorite scope be?
I think just because I'm a doer, I don't really enjoy being an environmental monitor. Now, that being said, the client interaction and the adaptive management practices too that you get to employ, that's really useful and beneficial. But a lot of the time you're just observing and reporting and you have to just like stay in your role. And that's really difficult for me because you want to like go out and do stuff. And I want to like run around and like be a part of the team. But often your job is just to take pictures and write notes and kind of just observe. And that's hard because often you're just like sitting watching. So
yeah, that could be tough sometimes.
Yeah.
especially when you see something that can go wrong, and
yeah,
it's like, you know that you could deter it from happening, but sometimes it's like, hey, should I step in? So what kind of education did you get, like, have to do to get to where you're at today?
Right. So it's interesting because I started my degree as a biology major. I wanted to be a vet, a veterinarian. And I had worked with like street animals in Guatemala. So a lot of stray dogs and clinics with them. That's kind of what I thought was my trajectory. And then I took a geography course. And I was like, you know, instead of just helping animals or just people, why don't I help the environment? Because then they'll help both. So that was kind of like my compromise there, and especially with the water quality background and always having that as like a side thing I was interested in. So then I started a geography degree, and then I had a minor in the environmental science because I was doing the biology research still. So I did biology research for 4 years. So I think that was the big to this field was because I had such a strong research background. So my degree itself is a Bachelor of Arts. So it's not a science degree. The minor was a science minor, but my overall degree is just a BA. But then I went to a field school in Michigan, and I got my watershed management and wildlife ecology certifications there. And that was the main reason why I have my current job, was because of my EPA certification and the water quality background and the research. So it really wasn't my education, but my work experience while I was getting educated that really got me where I am today.
That's good to hear. Like, so essentially, mm-hmm. for someone who doesn't have like specified background in schooling, mm-hmm. it kind of shows that no matter what you're taking in university or college, if you do some side work,
yeah,
and get some field work background, the odds of that field work kind of being kind of outweighs the possibility of schooling.
Yeah.
But, and that it doesn't, not to discredit any like schooling that anyone's done, but I think that's a good way to like view it, is kind mm-hmm. of the spectrum's broad, and just because you want to be, let's say, a fish biologist, but you're in geology, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or architecture or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
I think that's a big misconception too with university, is I know for myself as well, when I started, I went to school and I thought, you know, once I finish this degree, it's just like boom, 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 a job's just going to appear and you're just going to go into the next thing. But that life doesn't work that way. And it's so funny because, like, you know, you're right, it doesn't matter what your degree is. And really just getting a degree, the biggest thing, I haven't had anyone ask me at work or any interview I've been in, like, what my actual degree was in. The question was, like, what your work experience and what your background is. And I think it's like, if you got a degree, that just shows that you had the work ethic and the commitment to follow through with something, and you stuck to it for 4 years and you finished it. And so that means something. Other than that, it doesn't really mean that much. Like, in the big scheme of things, you just learned how to learn and how to write things. And so really what matters is the experience, the networking that you like have during those years, and the side projects really, because that's what defines your scope, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. So I'm going to follow up with kind of like a scope specific question, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about like helping like the animals and people by helping mm-hmm. the environment in like water quality and or like water sampling, mm-hmm. is there any points where you've been surprised with some samples that you've collected from the field?
Surprised like
in like something that may have been contaminated but it turns out it wasn't, or
yeah, often
often hey,
yeah, often you think that you're sampling an area that for sure would, like, just because of the background area, like what kind of operations were happening on site, you go into it with this bias of like, oh, we're for sure, and then like everything's fine. So either they managed it properly or the soil is just really nutrient rich, and so it's broken down a lot of stuff, or whatever was in there wasn't enough to actually contaminate the entire area. So it's always interesting because we do live in an environment that like is very adaptive and there's human influence everywhere, but it's amazing how resilient the environment is that we live in. If you look at all the pollutants it's exposed to and how it's still thriving, I think that it's always surprising for sure.
Yeah, I would say sometimes you definitely look at a site and like it could be contaminated, but if it comes out, it's not. Is that, this is just kind of like a random question, I guess, kind of more like a generalized.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of due to based to our, like, I guess, the industry kind of going in towards more of like an environmentally friendly kind of,
yeah, like lubricants using, and yeah, exactly, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Just we're a lot more aware than we were back in like the 50s, 60s, etc. We're more aware of what we're putting in and trying to manage when things can't be avoided. We're better at containing them.
Okay.
I mean, really, you don't want a piece of equipment to be leaking anyways. So like especially with maintenance, people are a lot more on top of maintenance. So I think that's a big part. And when bad things happen, usually it's because it's a lack of maintenance or inspections, right? So.
Exactly. Okay. Well,
so regulation, honestly, I feel like, so it's,
yeah,
definitely a big part of the only reason why I have work is because of the regulations here in BC that require all these companies to abide and be compliant by these certain standards. So
yeah, exactly. Regulation is kind of what runs,
yeah,
industry anymore yeah, because without that regulation, we wouldn't have future work, or we wouldn't have, in this case, past contaminant sites that are being, yeah, rediscovered.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you for doing this again. And
yeah, of course.
It's been great. I hope you continue with what you want to do and enjoy your upcoming time off.
Yeah, for sure. Enjoy your break. Hopefully you get one.
We'll see. Stay warm out there.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Okay, bye, well, Tyler.
See you later, Lungi. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Wow, what a fantastic interview with Lungi. And I just want to say, again, thank you to Lungi for doing this for me. And I just hope that everyone enjoyed the interview. And I just hope to push forward with this. And I hope it brings awareness to some people, like, out there that they think they're stuck in their one set mind of being in an industry that maybe not working for them, all because of just a degree that they have. Like, go off, do some side jobs, get some work experience if you want to do environment, and in other cases forestry. We'll touch base in the future with hopefully someone from the forestry end and see kind of what their aspect is when it comes to the schooling compared to field work. Again, thank you everyone for listening. This has been Minds of Forestry with Tyler Dennis. I hope everyone stays warm and take care.